From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, the policies surrounding the U.S.-Mexican border continue to be the focus of national news. Last week, Congress failed to advance comprehensive immigration reform legislation, but could they do that this week, even though a lot of the pressure is off with President Trump's executive order keeping families together at the border? Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma joins me with some answers. And following the lead of the Trump administration, the U.S. Senate passed a $716 billion defense policy bill that calls for a bigger, stronger military, but it does even more. It sends an international message about religious freedom. Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma explains. Also, over the weekend, during a stump speech, Congresswoman Maxine Waters called on supporters of the left to attack Trump administration officials. This is a page out of the left's old playbook, Rules for Radicals. We'll talk about it with FRC's Ken Blackwell, former mayor of Cincinnati and ambassador to the United Nations Commission on Human Rights. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. By the way, as I shared with you last week, we have our greatest opportunity, I think, that I've ever seen, to advance conservative biblical values here in our nation's capital, across America, and around the world. But we urgently need your help to seize this moment. As our fiscal year is quickly coming to an end at midnight on June 30th, there are friends of FRC who have offered a matching challenge that will double your gift. That's right. Whatever you give between now and the end of this week, the end of the month, it will be doubled by generous supporters of FRC that have put up this matching challenge. And where we end this year determines what goals and priorities FRC can set for the future and how many of these opportunities that we can seize. And so if you want to keep Washington Watch on your local station and help us expand it so more people can hear for themselves, unfiltered by the fake news, what's really happening here in the nation's capital, join with us. We've got folks standing by to take your phone call, 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Or visit TonyPerkins.com to donate. All right. As we were talking about at the top of the program last Thursday, the House, by 20 votes, failed to pass a comprehensive immigration reform bill drafted by, in part, by conservatives in Congress. Now, a lot of the pressure is off a little bit with the president's executive order dealing with one sliver of the immigration issue, and that is those adults bringing children, their children in most cases, some cases not, coming across the border, being detained for breaking the law. The executive order now will keep those families together. Good move, I believe, on the part of the president. And the polling shows the majority of Americans want to see the law on our border enforced. But I think they also appreciate the compassionate approach in which this administration has now said they are going forward with this. Well, in light of all of that, there is still yet another immigration bill before Congress. Will they take this up after nearly two decades of kicking the can down the road on immigration reform? Will they come to that point of doing it? With us now is Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Oklahoma and serves on the House Committee on Government Oversight and Reform and the Vice Chairman of the Subcommittee on National Security. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. It's always good to be with you.
All right. The big question, will Congress take on the immigration issue and do something with it?
Well, we're certainly taking it on. The question of, you know, will we be able to get to something that represents all of our constituencies and the regions of the country, that remains to be seen. I had stated last week before we went into each of these measures that I was not optimistic. largely because we're not focusing on the things that we agree on, and we are either doubling down or trying to find clever ways to get on the things that we don't agree on. You know, the president has put forth his four-pillar strategy, and we have broad support for the first two of those pillars, which would be obviously securing the border. Illegal immigration presents the greatest hazard to our legitimate immigration and naturalization system in our country, which we certainly want immigration. That is something that our framers of the Constitution were adamant about and saw us and our strength of our country as a nation of immigrants moving forward. But when you don't have a secure border, now it becomes a problem. And then the second piece of that is the whole DACA issue under two presidents, President Obama, President Trump, have given them a quasi-legal status. We need to move that to some type of permanent status or legitimacy or deport them. It's got to be one of the other.
And that's one of the big hang-ups.
It is.
Is it not?
Most Americans don't agree that they should be deported. We've always treated minors differently under the law, and that's the case here. So we largely agree with the McCall measures in the bill on securing the border and with the DACA measures that are there. It's when we get into the other areas that I'm not up to. We're going to get there. So I think, what I had proposed was that let's go with the two pillars that we do agree on. And the president had put that forth earlier last year where he said, hey, look, give me $25 billion, secure the border. I'll give you DACA, and we'll have this thing solved, and then we can deal with the other things later. That was rejected by those negotiating with the president, Congress thinking they could do better. So obviously that hasn't happened. But now, rather than the president saying, yeah, you're wasting your time, I think if we were to go back and say, well, could we go with these two pillars? The other thing, Congressman Barry Loudermilk and I were just discussing this afternoon. If we have the four pillars, okay, let's lay out all four in four separate measures. We could probably get the first two that I just mentioned, and then the other two, people can vote the constituencies, and then we move on, and then we can get something that will pass over in the Senate.
That actually makes sense.
I
separate them.
Either one of those. But if we couple them all together in this, you've got your agricultural states that will differ from your urban states, or the constituencies, rather. You've got border states that will differ from interior states. We are truly a representative body. And when we try to drill down on certain aspects that will affect people in those regions, you're going to get differences. But securing the border is not one of them in the Republican conference. I've not heard anybody say that they would vote against McCall's bill if it were a separate measure. We all agree that this is a good way to secure the border.
Well, I mean, that's a good place to start. I mean, you secure the border, you cut off the flow. I know that, and I've looked at this over the last 15 years pretty in depth, and there's many problems with our immigration policy. But if we keep kicking the can down the road, the problem only gets worse. That's why we're having this, we had this crisis last week and through the weekend of the separation of families when we actually enforced the law. That has been brought on by a lack of enforcement and problems in our law. So,
with
the majority of. Go ahead.
Well, to that point, this is something that is not new. I mean, as we've seen Jay Johnson mention and others, they've tried to deal with the issue before. The difference between 2014 and now was that you had reduced number of border security agents and you had a smaller staff trying to deal with and contend the issues. Now the resources are there, but you still have the same types of problems. And look, I differ an awful lot from a lot of my conservative colleagues on some of these issues. Three of my five children were adopted, and they came here on green cards. I hold a little bit different place than, you know, some people may be out there saying, no, you know, keep everybody out. Well, I just don't agree with that. I don't abide by that. Neither did George Washington or Thomas Jefferson, by the way. And I think one of the other interesting aspects about it is that they also had an anathema towards what they called encouragements or obligation type of citizenship. In other words, you were born into citizenship and therefore you are the only ones that qualify or something of this nature. They didn't believe that. And as far as encouragements go, they also didn't believe in a purely merit-based system. Did they want people of talent and energy and capacity to come? Yes. But they also wanted those to come ideologically. They wanted to be free and govern themselves legally.
Absolutely.
And
assimilate into the American
that's right.
Family.
To come united by ideology, that they would consent to be governed by themselves and that they would hold to the American ideals. And so what I'm concerned about, Tony, is that in our quest to try to provide some security to the border, that we don't depart from where our framers and founders of our country had originally had us, and that is united that all men are created equal, all mankind, you know, as we would interpret it today, and that they are endowed by their creator. What the framers felt was that if people lacked opportunity and freedom, that they would be suppressed. But if they had those things, then God could use them to expand to their talents. And I just hope as we have this immigration discussion, we do not become a nation that does not welcome immigrants.
Oh, absolutely not. And I think the vast majority of conservatives welcome, I mean, I'm not going to say, I can't speak for all, but I can speak for, I think, the vast majority of evangelicals in this country, that they welcome those who come and want to be a part of the American family, and they want to live by the laws of the land. My doors are open to those folks, and the country's doors should be open, but it's a matter of coming here legally. And part of the problem we have is that our assimilation structure is broken in this country. Used to be the schools that helped people assimilate into this country, and that's no longer happening, and that's where churches and other civic groups can step up and help in that assimilation process.
Well, it's a good point, and I remember when I was a teenager, when we had a wave of immigration, right at the end of the Vietnam War, and you saw a lot of Vietnamese immigrants come into Oklahoma City, and you know, today we call them doctor and attorney and business owner and
right.
All this.
Pastor,
remarkable
pastor,
thing. But at the time, people were like, oh, I'm not sure I want these people here. Aren't these the people we fought? Blah, blah, blah. But no, these were people fleeing tyranny. These were people wanting
free and they love America.
That's right. Absolutely.
And they love America because they know what they came from and they know what America has to offer.
That's right.
And that's why I, in fact, had the conversation just last week with a driver, a taxi cab driver. Because he just had such a love for America because he came from a totalitarian government. Steve, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be tracking this the rest of the week.
You
Congressman
bet.
Steve Russell of Oklahoma. Find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, don't go away. The Senate, following the president's lead, beefing up the military, but also sending a message on religious liberty. Senator James Inhofe joins us next. Don't go away. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with Washington Watch. We have our greatest opportunity to advance biblical values in our nation's capital and across America than ever before. But we urgently need your help to seize this moment. For 35 years, Family Research Council has stood for human dignity. We're standing up to the cultural bullies like Planned Parenthood and the SPLC that are pushing shocking sex ed programs into our schools that is nothing short of pornographic. And we know the harms that creates. Religious freedom is being restored, but much work remains. As our fiscal year is quickly coming to an end on June 30th, Friends of FRC have offered an amazing $800,000 matching challenge that will double the impact of your gift today. Help us complete our mission as we pursue a culture in which all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Visit TonyPerkins.com to donate today or call 800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008. May God bless you in your faithfulness.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television and social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is false? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate the challenging topics surrounding human sexuality. We are all created in the image and likeness of God, and all people are equal in dignity and value and must be treated with respect. LGBT activists operate on a weak understanding of sexuality and ignore how scientific and empirical evidence refutes their claims. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT, where you can download this important resource free of charge. Again, go to frc.org/LGBT to learn more.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? Family Research Council is here to help with answers and insight from our experts. Our work in Washington, D.C. is to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture. We want to hear from you. Send us your questions about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church, or about any issue that FRC stands for, issues like life, marriage and family, or religious liberty. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line. We'll consider your question, and you may also have a chance to be published on our blog. Again, that address is frc.org/askfrc. Thank you for standing with us.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, and don't forget our matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate between now and the end of this month, just a few days left, it will be matched, doubled. $10 becomes $20, $100 becomes $200. If you appreciate Washington Watch and you want it to continue and you want to help expand it so more folks can have this information, well, give us a call right now. We've got folks standing by, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008, or you can go to TonyPerkins.com and make your donation there. All right, the Republican-controlled Congress just recently voted 85 to 10 for the annual National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, which authorizes U.S. military spending, but is generally used as a vehicle for a broad range of policy matters. The act coming out of the Senate included two key amendments. The Senate added a clause to its version of the defense budget bill, the authorization bill, for the fiscal year 2019 that seeks to block the transfer of the F-35 Joint Strike Fighters jets to Turkey. Now, the vote was a response to that country's purchase of Russia's S-400 air defense systems and the arrest, prosecution, and imprisonment of an American pastor. Joining us now is Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, it's good to be with you, Tony.
Now, this obviously the Senate, following the president's lead on beefing up our nation's military that had been, well, dwindling under the leadership of Barack Obama. I use that term loosely, leadership. Also sending a message that international religious freedom and religious freedom is an important issue, and the Congress is weighing in on this.
Yeah, well, they are. Just keep in mind, though, in We can't forget what happened during the 8 years that Obama was president. And I don't say this really critically, because he at least he's no hypocrite. He admits his policy was you can't put any sequestration money in the military unless you put dollar for dollar in the social programs. Never, Tony, in the history of this country has that been the case when we didn't prioritize defending America. And quite frankly, all of the Democrats in the Senate went along with him on that. Now, the end result is we have several things. Our peer competitors are Russia and China. Russia and China has some things that are actually better than we have. We're not used to that. Artillery pieces, as an example. You measure artillery by rapid fire and range. They are better at both than we are. And I could go on and on. The triad system, we didn't do anything for the last 10 years, and they passed us up. So that's one of the significant things about the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act. Now, we knew it would pass, and we knew that John McCain's absence, I've been chairing that committee, and we knew that we were going to be able to start rebuilding the military. That's exactly what we're doing. We got away from parity, it's called, that is, between social programs and the military. So it was a terrible budget that we had to vote for to do this, but nonetheless, it's done. Now, as far as Turkey is concerned, Turkey has been in line to purchase F-35s. And we actually put it in the language into the bill, the NDAA. That language says that we're not going to let Turkey go home with F-35s unless two things happen. First of all, they have to certify that the technical data from the F-35s will not be shared with Russia or any of our other adversaries. And then secondly, that we would demand the release of Andrew Brunson. He's the one you just referred to. For, I think, 18 months he's been over there actually imprisoned. And we have that language in there. Now, they actually, the Turks will come over and learn to fly this thing, but we won't release any of the F-35s to leave our country until those two things happen. That's written into the bill so that that's locked in.
Now, Turkey is a member of NATO, although I'd have to say that relationship's pretty shaky. Has Turkey responded to this at all? Have you heard anything?
See, we just passed our bill last week, and the answer is yes. They've already they have received the message, and that's where they came with the arrangement to have some of their pilots come over, learn to fly. That would actually take place in Fort Worth, but the planes would not be released to go back, so it doesn't do them any good. But they have every intention, according to them, of complying with this thing, which of course would involve this Andrew Brunson too. So we're optimistic right now. The fact that they're coming over and taking the next step, I believe that they're sincere in trying to do it. Truman, there's really no reason for them not to do it. Tony, I don't know why they wouldn't, why they wouldn't do it.
Well, Senator Inhofe, I know you've chaired the Senate Armed Services Committee before, and you're back in the saddle leading it. I would just say this is a big difference from what we saw just a few years ago under the Obama administration, that now in our foreign policy, clearly front and center is the importance of religious freedom and American citizens who are being detained by other countries.
And this president now, with all the criticism, I would caution any of our listeners, just don't believe what you hear in the media. I've never seen such hatred in my life that they have for this president. And so just keep in mind, yes, he's locked into this thing on religious liberty. He is very strongly in favor, just exactly what you and I would do if we were in his position. So he's doing a good job. And we're rebuilding the military.
Yeah, right. And the Senate, the Republicans in the Senate, this makes a difference, are following his lead and putting this into a defense authorization bill. Senator Jim Inhofe, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for your leadership in the Senate.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma. Folks, this is where elections matter. Yes, the president is leading out on this. We applaud him for that. But you have the Congress coming behind him because of the Republicans control the Senate and the House. All right, don't go away. Coming back with Ken Blackwell. Next, the left going crazy. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with Washington Watch. We have our greatest opportunity to advance biblical values in our nation's capital and across America than ever before. But we urgently need your help to seize this moment. For 35 years, Family Research Council has stood for human dignity. We're standing up to the cultural bullies like Planned Parenthood and the SPLC that are pushing shocking sex ed programs into our schools that is nothing short of pornographic, and we know the harms that creates. Religious freedom is being restored, but much work remains. As our fiscal year is quickly coming to an end on June 30th, friends of FRC have offered an amazing $800,000 matching challenge that will double the impact of your gift today. Help us complete our mission as we pursue a culture in which all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Visit TonyPerkins.com to donate today or call 800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008. May God bless you in your faithfulness.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? We want to hear from you. Send us a question you may have about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line for a chance to be published on our blog. Thank you for standing with us.
If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. This new anti-Semitism is disguised simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at these incidents reveal how Jewish college students are being attacked merely for believing that Israel should exist. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, folks, we're in a matching challenge campaign. If you have an appreciation for this program and want to make sure that it continues and even help us expand it to reach more folks so that they'll get the real news from the newsmakers themselves, okay, and I make no apologies about this, we're coming at this from a biblical perspective. We're looking at things from a Christian worldview. Okay, that's how we approach things here in Washington, D.C., but we allow you to hear directly from those who are making the news. So if you would like to be a part of making sure this continues and even expands, we have this matching gift challenge that anything you give between now and the end of this month, just a few days left, will be doubled. So go to TonyPerkins.com or call 800-225-4008. We've got folks standing by to take your phone call, 800-225-4008. Okay, over the weekend, Congresswoman Maxine Waters from California encouraged leftists, her supporters, to harass Trump administration officials at restaurants, stores, and gas stations. She also stated on MSNBC, this is a new reality for the United States of America. Of course, this came on the heels of the White House press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, being asked by the owner to leave the Red Hen restaurant in Lexington, Virginia, because of her affiliation with the Trump administration. Joining us now, Ken Blackwell, Senior Fellow for Human Rights and Constitutional Governance at the Family Research Council, former mayor of Cincinnati, and a ambassador to the United Nations Commission on Human Rights. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Good to be with you, sir.
This is, let me play this clip, a short clip of Maxine Waters over the weekend. Listen to this.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
The left's unhinged.
Tony, that was classic Maxine Waters. It was the politics of division. It was the politics of subtraction. It was the politics of ignorance. Maxine can't get her mind wrapped around the fact that in less than 250 years, the United States of America is the most diverse, the most prosperous form of culture and nation on the face of the earth and in all of human history. As you and I have talked on many occasions, we're not perfect. But it has been an adherent to the rule of law and a demand that we find all individuals equal under the law that has been a hallmark or a cornerstone of our civilization and legal system. Maxine is playing a very dangerous game here. You and I have a friend, Steve Solis, that was the victim, you know, of a deranged mind motivated by a false narrative and unhinged by this the sort of rhetoric that we heard from Congresswoman Waters. And I think it's just dangerous.
This though is not new. I mean, this is a page from the old left playbook, Rules for Radicals. They're attempting to demonize, marginalize, you know, intimidate into silence those that they disagree with. You notice they don't want to have a debate over immigration, which is what was driving behind this. They just want to shout down, as I said, intimidate and marginalize those that they disagree with.
Well, absolutely, Tony. You know, the president has had a substantial impact. His policies and his leadership has accelerated economic growth and job creation. His push against excessive regulation and his freeing up of capital has redirected the flow of capital back into our cities, back into our nation, and we're building stronger neighborhoods and stronger cities as a consequence of his leadership in terms of economics. But he's also provided leadership in terms of religious freedom, Maxine nor the radicals on the left really want to talk about the positive change that has happened under this president's watch, on this president's watch in a very short period of time. He's battling, you know, OPEC on one hand, he's battling the Chinese theft of intellectual property on the other, and he's winning, and he's going to win this. Maxine Waters, you know, is instant.
And you see you talk about the economy, unemployment, lowest unemployment in the African American community in modern times.
Absolutely.
Why are they not celebrating that? You know, you're right. They cannot bring themselves to actually commend him for a job well done. Well, I can bring myself to say, Ken Blackwell, job well done. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tony. Right back at you.
All right. Ken Blackwell, my friend from Ohio. Great American. All right. When we come back, what do you think? The left unhinged? Should we just step back and let them scream? Should we stand our ground? That's next. Don't go away. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with Washington Watch. We have our greatest opportunity to advance biblical values in our nation's capital and across America than ever before. But we urgently need your help to seize this moment. For 35 years, Family Research Council has stood for human dignity. We're standing up to the cultural bullies like Planned Parenthood and the SPLC that are pushing shocking sex ed programs into our schools that is nothing short of pornographic. And we know the harms that creates. Religious freedom is being restored, but much work remains. As our fiscal year is quickly coming to an end on June 30th, Friends of FRC have offered an amazing $800,000 matching challenge that will double the impact of your gift today. Help us complete our mission as we pursue a culture in which all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Visit TonyPerkins.com to donate today or call 800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008. May God bless you in your faithfulness.
If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. Supposed anti-hate watchdog groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center have curiously turned a blind eye to this emerging campus threat, and this new anti-Semitism has flown under the radar. The perpetrators of the new anti-Semitism are primarily the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, or BDS, movement and the Students for Justice in Palestine. These two groups disguise their bigotry simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at the language and tactics used by these groups reveals how Jewish college students are being attacked for believing that Israel should exist, or merely because they are Jews. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? We want to hear from you. Send us a question you may have about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line for a chance to be published on our blog. Thank you for standing with us.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And as I mentioned, a matching challenge out there. If you'd like to stand with us, be a partner with Washington Watch, everything you give between now and the end of this month, the end of this week, will be doubled because of a matching challenge that's out there. Give us a call, or you can go online, TonyPerkins.com, or call us 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008. We've got folks standing by to take your phone call. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines here. I want to, you know, discuss this. Well, we can discuss any of the topics we brought up today. They're kind of all related. We can talk about the immigration issue, which is really what this last issue was about. Maxine Waters and others, you know, going berserk. You had Attorney General in Florida, Pam Bondi, basically, they ran her out of a movie theater over the weekend. Same thing, anti-Trump crowd. That's in part why they refused to serve Sarah and her family at this restaurant in Virginia. Although they also made the comment to her about the president's policies on the transgender in the military. Maxine Waters ranting and raving over the immigration policy, saying that Trump administration officials should be confronted wherever they're at, gas station, restaurant, doesn't matter. We've seen that. We saw the Secretary of Homeland Security at a restaurant here in D.C., Stephen Miller, White House advisor, also confronted at a Mexican restaurant or something. So I want to get your thoughts on 866-372-7234. The interesting thing is CBS poll says 81% of Republicans said they approve of Trump's handling of the immigration issue. In fact, the president's numbers overall are the highest they've been. In fact, they are about on par with where George W. Bush's approval rating was after 9/11. Look, the American people support this president. I think the media needs to realize that the gig is up. The American people know what they are. They are the opposition party. They are the opposition party to conservatives. And all of this ranting and raving is only, and I hope this continues, only serving to help the president and conservatives. And I think all this stuff's confronting conservatives in restaurants and folks associated with Trump, confronting them and running them out. I think it's gonna backfire. What do you think? 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. We can also talk about the Senate getting in following the president's lead regarding the relationship with Turkey and Pastor Brunson, who is being held over there. All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you so much for all that you do. Thanks for having Mr. Blackwell on. He did a great job for the state of Ohio, and I'm sure he's doing a great job in his present position. And I'd like to just, you guys hit the nail right on the head. I believe this is just a distraction. The Democrats are trying to push front and fore center. They don't want to talk about, it pushes the other items off the front page. All the success that deregulation has had, how great the economy is doing, the low unemployment numbers, the low food stamp usage, the success of the summit with North Korea. It's pushing all that stuff off the front page. Also, the other thing that came out last week, you haven't heard hardly anything about the IG report came out and basically, confirmed what most of us already knew. Six of the top seven people at the Department of Justice were in the tank for Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party. So it's pushed that off the front page. But I believe this immigration is just a distraction from everything else that is going really well. And I hope I know the conservative voters are smart enough to see through it. I just hope the low information and other voters are smart enough to see through the smoke screen. Thanks for all that you do. Keep fighting the good fight.
All right, Joe, thanks for the call. And to your last point, I actually think they are. And that's actually what encourages me. It's almost comical. If there weren't some folks that just, are too influenced by the media, it would be comical. But most Americans are beginning to see through the media and what they're doing. That they are, there's no, and they're not even trying to hide it. It's completely unveiled. They are the opposition party. And I think many people are seeing that. It's reflected in the polls. And I'm getting to the comical part. What's comical almost is that the media is like throwing a tantrum because the American people won't listen to them and they can't influence them anymore because they've been exposed. And so people are no longer really listening to the media. I mean, you can even see it in the numbers, and a lot of the numbers of viewing numbers are dropping, but people are more cynical when they watch the news, as they should be. I'll be candid. I don't watch the news. I don't. I read various sources, trusted sources, and I'll read other sources that are not so trusted, but I verify them with other factors, or I put in a fudge factor with anything I read from the mainstream media. You got to have that fudge factor because they're fudging on the truth. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Carol in Texas. Carol, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
I am doing well. Yeah, Tony, I was listening to, was it Senator Imhoff?
Yes.
I just love what he said. And when it comes to what the woman said about harassing people and basically trying to incite others to, I would almost call it, be violent against someone you don't agree with.
Yes.
It's disgusting. I was talking to a young man this weekend, and he generally has a lot more liberal viewpoint than I do. And he made the comment that he is sick. He doesn't even watch the news anymore because they don't report the news. They report their opinion.
Yep.
And he has heard me say so many times, your opinion is not news. And for him to say that, and I asked him, what changed your mind? And he said that it's all of this hatefulness that is just permeating the news media. And I'm tired of it.
It absolutely has, and I think, you know, this has been the year, has been years in building. You know, when you started with the cable news, and then they moved to the 24/7 news, and they've got to attract listeners, and you get people with their viewpoints, and, you know, you get this, the line gets blurred between news programs and commentators. And so, Carol, you're absolutely, you're right. And back to your comments about the... you know, being hateful, inciting violence. This is about intimidating. Right? This is what they want to do. They want to intimidate anybody. Number one, this is going to move. This is going to continue to expand, okay? Just watch this. They think they're on to something. You know, they ran Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her family out of a restaurant. That's really bold. They're going to continue to do this stuff, and they're going to move to just basic supporters. You know, we've had people with, you know, Trump T-shirts or hats that have been removed from places. Look, this is about intimidation. They want to force people to be secret supporters of the policies of this administration. I do not advocate, nor should any of us advocate, the same type of things that they do. We should not... you know, use intimidation, and we should not, you know, threaten the way they do. But we should not shrink back in the face of their intimidation. Absolutely not. We should stand firm, stand proudly for the Constitution that we defend, and those who are willing to enact policies that are in line with that Constitution. Carol, thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening. Let's go to David in Virginia. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, thanks for my call. I agree with the previous two callers, but what I am concerned about is when you have someone in Congress who has been elected to support us, elected supposedly to uphold the Constitution, using this kind of vile rhetoric, and I'm talking about Maxine Waters and others like her, they're trying to incite violence, they're trying to incite anarchy. And my question to you is, I know you have influence in Washington. Could you not talk to House leadership about censoring her or doing something? I mean, can they just get away with this? This is not politics as usual. This is nothing. You know, if we disagree with Obama's policies, I can't remember one. You know, he was all for killing the babies in their wombs and fostering abortion. I don't remember any Republican ever saying anything about coming after him personally or after his children or his cabinet. Can we do something about this legally, or can the House hold these people accountable?
Well, a good question, David, but a very good point that I want to make sure everybody catches. Look, I vehemently disagreed with the policies of Barack Obama on almost everything. Very few things did we agree on. But you're right. Let's just take the issue of abortion. I mean, he forced taxpayer funding of abortion through Obamacare on the American public? Did we ever say that we should go out and intimidate people who, you know, worked in his administration? We should, you know, force them out of restaurants as baby killers? No. And we shouldn't. Now, we were more than willing and able and eager to have a debate over those policies, which is what that's how a constitutional republic works. That's the only way it works. You have those free, fair, and open debates so that you shape policy. When you circumvent that, when you repress that speech, that's when you move toward, you know, totalitarian government, and you have, you know, I mean, you, it just, it leads to a bad outcome. So we're for the First Amendment. We're for having these debates. Now, there are limits to the First Amendment. You can't scream fire in a crowded theater. I think if she were on the House floor making these comments, some of her colleagues might respond to that. But here's where it comes back to us, David, is that I want to go back and I want to continually hit this theme. Right? We cannot be intimidated by this. Folks, you are not alone, okay? You might, you know, depending on where you live, now most of our listeners are in, you know, conservative parts of the country, but you may not be. You might be in one of these big cities. And, you know, you have a lot of undercover conservatives because the liberals, the left, and liberals are okay? I don't have a problem with liberals. We need people to buy those electric cars and stuff. But what I don't like are the leftists who want to intimidate and silence. And they know that they can't defend their ideology and their policies, so they just want to silence people. We cannot be silent. Okay, now we don't need to scream. We don't need to yell. We don't need to be obnoxious the way many of them are. But we should not shrink back into the shadows of society. We should not make them change the way we live, what we teach our children, the flags that we fly in our front yard. We cannot allow them to make us be ashamed of standing for truth and defending the Constitution of this country and the principles that made this nation great. Look, courage breeds courage. Be courageous. Stand firm for what you believe in. And don't shrink back in the face of opposition. Folks, America is actually, for the first time in a long time, headed in the right direction. Let's not stop now. Let's advance religious freedom. Let's adopt policies that embrace the sanctity of human life and build a stronger economy and stronger families. Don't be intimidated. All right, folks, out of time. Sorry we didn't get to the rest of the calls, but Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow. I pray that you will as well. Remember, we've got this matching grant opportunity. Give us a call, 800-225-4008. They'll still be standing by after the program. But until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.